pillars of strength in the house of God. I want to pray, and then we'll begin. Father, we worship you, and we thank you for your word. And your word is light and life and strength and marrow and health for us spiritually. God, I know that this is from your heart. This is something that you have been speaking to me and working into my life. And God, you're getting us ready. Lord, you're getting us ready in a different kind of school. Lord, it's not the school of just the classroom and a knowledge of things to come and a preparedness that way. There's something that you're doing in the lives of your people, God, that is, it's all, a lot of people that I know, God, are going through times right now that are very difficult. And Lord, it's your work, God. Now help us to see from your word, Lord, your work in our lives. Help us to gain strength, God, for the coming days. And Lord, help us to have the faith and the strength and just the grace, Lord, to walk with you as you make us into these pillars of strength in your house. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 1:18 and 19. I'm going to read these for you. You can keep your Bible. We're going to go around the word. So just, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read them for you. I have six scriptures I'm going to go through very quickly. And then I want to get into the word. For behold, I've made thee this day. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. This day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver thee. It's a promise to Jeremiah that God was going to give him the strength in his day to stand against evil principalities and powers and to come out on top and to be the one in the end that's delivered, to be the one in the end that has strength. 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16, it says, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Revelations 3:8 and 3:12, I know your works, is speaking to Philadelphia. Jesus speaking to the church of Philadelphia, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Hear that promise. You shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Pillars of strength in the house of God. Firstly, after reading these scriptures, now we have here a promise to an individual. We have here the Apostle Paul writing in 1 Timothy. Jeremiah is a promise to an individual. From God to Jeremiah, he's going to make him a pillar. 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16, we have an apostle speaking about what the church is in this world, the pillar in the ground of truth. It is a thing of strength, a thing of might that relates to the world the strength of God. We have in Revelation 3:8 through 3:12, God speaking, Jesus speaking directly to a group of individuals, to a local church body that was really being put to the test, going through many different things, speaking to them and giving them a promise that he was going to turn their lives into a pillar of strength and a testimony where they would be unmoved. And I believe from these scriptures, and upon other scriptures, though it may not explicitly say the word pillar, I believe that it is God's will that every believer becomes so established in Christ that they become a pillar testimony. We see this in Jeremiah. We see it as a description of the church. We see this as a word to a local church body. So this is open to everyone, not just leaders. Now there are, you know, Paul called Peter, James, and John leaders. But called them pillars and represented, but this is more than just leadership that I'm talking about. This is a testimony. And this is a testimony, a pillar testimony. What do we mean by this? They become a testimony of strength and steadfast faith in spite of everything that is happening outwardly. That's what I mean by that, a testimony, a pillar testimony. In spite of anything that's going on in their life, they are, you can look at them and you can see a testimony of the grace and the strength of God in their life. And I believe that's God's will for all of us. Romans 8:29 says this, that we are predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. Now, that's for every believer. That's not just some, that's all of us. We're born again to be conformed to the image of Christ. Song of Solomon's 5:15, the bride describes the lover, which is the church, the bride describing Christ. She says this about him: his legs were pillars of marble, pillars of marble. Now this is God's will for the church, to be a pillar of testimony, to be a pillar of strength, just like Christ was. Not a pedestal. For many years, the church has become a pedestal. And what I mean by that, it's a pedestal that has displayed the gifts and talents of certain individuals, certain leaders, certain names and things. And it's been a display case. And the time is coming when God says no more. You're not going to be a pedestal. People aren't going to look at you and see great callings or great giftings and great talents, great oratory. God says, I'm going to restore the pillar testimony of my church in this world. Folks, the church is not here to be a pedestal to showcase our abilities or our own strengths. We are here to represent in this world who God is and what God can do through those who are willing. And God says, I want to make you into a pillar, just like my son. Now, all of this is figuratively speaking. It says that Jesus had, as the church looked at him in Song of Solomon, said he's got strength in his walk, in his legs. That always represents the ability to stand. And when you look at Christ throughout the Gospels, you see this strength over and over again. You see it in Nazareth. You see Jesus when he's first. You see it, right after Jordan. You see Jesus going into the wilderness, being tried and tested, coming out, walking in the power of the strength of God. You see his first sermon in the synagogue. They take him up, and this band of mad, angry individuals carrying him out to the brow of the hill. You don't see him flailing his arms. You don't see him asking what's going on. He had a calm assurance that God was in control. You don't see him fearful. You see him just walking out of the midst of them. You see a strength in him. You see him in the ship when the storm and everything around him just seems like everything is going under. And you see him unmoved by everything that's going on around him. You see him in opposition, even from those that are dear to him. Even in those, his mother and his brothers, those that are closest to his heart, questioning who he was, in a way taking away or trying to in one way negate the call of God in his life, and putting him in that place. James was one of them before he was converted, his brother James, putting him in a place of just commonality. You see him not yielding to their suggestions that he's just somebody, just another brother, just another man, not yielding to that. You see him when he was betrayed by those that were closest to him. You see him when Judas was betraying him with a kiss. You didn't see him wringing his hands and worried about that man betraying him. He told him even to go out and do what he had to do. There was a strength in that, in facing that betrayal. Even when Peter, that one that was closest to him, denied him, he looked at Peter. There was not a look of condemnation. There was not a look of, how could you do this to me? There was a look of confidence in his heart. I believe there was a look of love. But that he was even in that look ministering to that man that was betrayed. So you see him in his darkest hour, walking in the strength of God, walking as a pillar testimony of what God can do through a life of faith. You see Him in the shadow of the cross. You see Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, yielding everything of Himself over to God and walking out of that garden, not captivated by fear, not worried about what tomorrow was going to hold. Yes, He was going through great turmoil of mind. Yes, He was facing hell. But you see Him walking out in strength, so much so when they came to get Him, they said, "Can we see Him? Where is He?" And He spoke, "I am," standing in that strength. And the force of those words knocked those men back on the ground. So you don't see Him writhing in fear. He's walking in confidence, in shackles, over to Pilate's house, over to the priest's house, standing before Pilate. You see His confession was so strong. He realized that that man could do nothing to Him. If God so willed it, He could turn the tables in just a moment. But He wasn't worried. He wasn't fearful. Jesus had legs of marble. And what I mean by that, He was going to walk with God, fully trusting Him no matter what the Father allowed into His life. He had legs of, no matter where God's Spirit led Him, He was willing to walk there. He was willing to go there. There was such a trust and such a strength of God in His life. And God desires to establish this same testimony of strength and steadfast obedience in our lives. God desires to put this same steadfastness in our hearts and in our lives, the same legs of marble, the same nature of Christ. And we can talk about different aspects of Christ's nature, but today we're focusing on that strength to obey and that strength to trust God, even when it is difficult. Now, God desires for us to be pillars in the house of God. In other words, it's not enough for a minister in the pulpit to have the strength. And that's wonderful. But Paul said those days are over. Those days are over. When that man alone in the pulpit is the sole revelation, the days of Moses are over. We all now are called into this with open face to come into this strength, to come into this pillar testimony. Now, before we begin to talk about what a pillar testimony is and get down to it through the Word of God, I just want to talk about what it is not. Because we can clear up some misconceptions before we go into the truth of what the Lord is speaking to us. Let's talk about what it doesn't mean. Being a pillar does not mean that we stand in our own strength in a show of manufactured courage. Being a pillar does not mean that you put on a stiff upper lip and go through in your own strength. And some sense of bravado, you know, showing something, outwardly, but inwardly, there's really no strength. Some that appear to have a pillar testimony are really just good at masking fear. There are those that come into the house of God and they seem to have a strength. They seem to have an outward. They have it all together. They seem to spiritually anyway, but they're really just masking a deep fear in their heart. And that's not what I'm talking about. You know, God doesn't call us to mask fear and to put on a front and a show. God wants to do something that is legitimate and real in our lives so we don't have to fake it, right? This isn't about faking it. This is about reality. A pillar testimony has nothing to do with theatrics. It is not an act. It is a genuine work that the Holy Spirit has accomplished in the life. Manufactured courage will never stand the test. Manufactured courage, I don't care how brave you are in your own strength, you will never be able to stand in the days that are ahead or even for God at any time. That will not be able, and that is, will not be able to sustain you, and it is not what God expects of us. Being a pillar does not mean that you are hardened so that you become insensitive to others' weaknesses and infirmities. Let me say that again. Being a pillar does not mean that you are hardened. In other words, you're so strong that you can't understand why other people aren't as strong as you are. That's not what being a pillar is about. The opposite is true about a true pillar of God. Pillars are the most sensitive, caring people that there are. They weep with those that weep. It was said of Jesus that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. There's no hardness in a true pillar. True pillars will be gentle and tender towards the weak and the hurting. When people fail, they're compassionate, non-judgmental, knowing that it was grace that established that testimony in their life, and understanding that it's grace. If that strength is to be in another person's life, it's by the grace of God. That it's not by putting on some show of strength. Folks, some of us are created naturally strong. Some of us are created from birth with a fight and an ability and a courage. But not everyone is created out of the same clay. Not everyone is created with the same strength and inner strength. And the strength that God gives has nothing to do with our own ability or what we were born with. We're talking about a strength of God that comes from heaven. A strength of God that is real, that is tangible, that is attainable by the Holy Spirit. There is a real strength. True pillars know how to dispense grace and compassion, being recipients of it in themselves. They know how to dispense grace. They know how to give a word in season to people that are down. They know how to speak with the kindness of Christ, because they too have felt that same need of grace in their times of need. And so they understand where people are. Being a pillar does not mean that we are without any inward battle with fear. Being a pillar has nothing to do with a cessation of battling fear. Fear is everyone's common enemy, even those that are pillars, even more so. As God establishes His strength in you, and as God puts you up, and as God begins to put a testimony in your life, you're going to be exposed to fears you never thought were possible. I look at the Apostle Paul. No one would doubt that that man was a pillar. That man was a pillar of strength. God established the strength in his life. Paul himself said there was so much conflict in Corinthians. He said there was so much conflict without, and that great conflict stirred up great fears within me. That's the Apostle Paul. And during this time, he is doing great works for God. He is a strength to all those around him. So being a pillar does not mean that we're without any struggle with fear at all. So we got to lay some of those things down very firmly in our heart. It does not mean that you're impervious to fear and trouble. If anything, you become more sensitive. You become more open. You become a target of hell from the spirit of fear. And all these things will come against you. Now, what does it mean to be a pillar? Now, those are some things that it doesn't. And we could go on that vein for a few more minutes. But I want to go into really the heart of the message. What does it mean to be a pillar? If this is what it doesn't mean, not standing in our own strength, not being hard. And what I mean by that is not possessing the ability to identify with other people's weaknesses. And this is something I pray as a leader, that God never remove from me the sensitivity to other people's weaknesses. God never let me reach a point of really delusion, because that's exactly what it would be. If I reach a point where I think I'm above anything that anybody else goes through, because that is a place of great danger, because you're walking in great delusion. The enemy's tricked your mind to believe that you couldn't possibly be tempted or possibly come into a time of weakness like anybody else. Folks, Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he said, take heed. Take heed lest you fall into the fear. So being a pillar does not mean that you are not acquainted with other people and understand where they are, and being hardened to a point where really you're untouchable, and people look at you as untouchable because you don't understand. Now, that doesn't mean you have to fall and do exactly what people do. I'm talking about understanding where people are in their fear and even in their failure. Being a pillar does not mean that we are without inward battles and without fear. So we looked at those. Now let's look at what a pillar is. A pillar is someone, if you want to write this down, you're welcome to. A pillar is someone that has an unshakable, living faith and trust in the love of God. A pillar is someone that has a living faith and trust in the love of God to the point that they are unmoved when dark times come. If you want to boil it all down to what this is really all about, it's about having such a confidence in God. And what I mean by unmoved doesn't mean that we're not acquainted with fear. What I mean is that faith in your heart is greater than any fear, greater than anything. And that faith and that trust in your heart will cause you to endure fear, will cause you to endure through the times of questionings, will cause you to fight the fight of faith and stand through it. A pillar is someone who has ceased from basing their faith and trust in God on whether or not their circumstances are good or bad. And that's how we are, isn't it? You know, we live in this world and we judge whether or not we're in God's favor or His love by whether or not our circumstances are good or bad. But a pillar has come to such a trust and faith in God. It doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter what's going on in their life. The question that God loves them, that they're accepted by God, that He's there for them, He's going to deliver them, that is unshakable. That is never questioned during this time. This is what a pillar testimony is. You look at Paul. He was talking about all of these things, nakedness, peril, sword, all of these things. He said, but in all these we're more than conquerors. Why? Because God loves us. Then nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And that was his strength to stand through everything that he went through. It didn't matter what it was. So this is a pillar testimony is someone that says, Lord, I know things may be bad right now. I know that the outlook may be dim, the sky is black. But I don't question your love for me. I don't question. I don't think you're angry at me. I don't think you despise me. I don't think that I'm out of your will. I know in my heart that you love me. And I'm secure in that love. And matter of fact, I'm drawing on that right now for my strength. I'm drawing on that as my strength to stand through all of this. Whether I live or die, I'm the Lord's. It doesn't matter. They have stopped questioning if God will be faithful to him, to them, and whether or not he will perform his word to them. So the questions about God being faithful, the question, is God going to be faithful to me? Is God's word going to be true to me? All of that, because their circumstances are bad, it stopped. Now they've become a pillar. And they're able in their circumstances to say, I know that things look bad right now. I'm dealing with different fears. But my main fear that God is going to forsake me, He's not going to be true to me, that I don't deal with that. That's not the fear that we're talking about. Other fears may come in. Other things may come in. But we're talking about that strength. God has established such a testimony in that heart that they're unmoved when it comes to their position in God. They are totally at rest in the love of God, in God's covenant. They're totally at rest in everything that God has done for them, that His wrath was satisfied at the cross, and now that God delights in His children, even though they may be going through times of failure, they may be going through times of great difficulty, they have that question, that gnawing question, and that gnawing fear settled in their heart. I'm not under the wrath of God. I'm at rest because I know that God loves me. He's going to be faithful to me. I was listening to Pastor David's message this last week, and I've been preparing for this message a couple of weeks. And what a perfect timing. He said that what it means to rest in the covenant or God's promises is that you understand that God is completely resting in His love for you. He's completely at rest with His love for you. He's perfectly accepted you. Nothing you do or say changes His love for you one bit. No weakness, no fear, nothing you go through changes God's look towards you. He's looking with eyes of love towards you. It doesn't change. And you're resting in God's rest. You've come into the rest of God because God's rest towards you is perfect. Also, what it means to have a pillar testimony is because you have such an unshakable confidence, a pillar will obey God no matter what the cost. So there's an obedience that comes. You look at Jesus. He was obedient. And the writer says, even to the death of the cross. Obedience unto death is one thing, but the Hebrew writer says, even to the death of the cross. Even to the extremities that God allowed the most horrible, imaginable, the most horrendous thing to happen to Him. And He was still obedient. He didn't waver in His obedience to God. Because His love for God was settled. God's love for Him was settled. He knew He was His son. I think about Jeremiah. He obeyed God. And we're talking about the Old Testament. How much more in the New Testament, when we have such a demonstration of the grace of God revealed to us in the cross, it produces within us. We talk about the New Covenant, but that New Covenant produces within us such an obedience, such a willingness to give your life over to God no matter what. That's what a pillar is. Their will has become united with God's will. Also, pillars are tenacious and possess an inner strength that does not bow or cower to Satan's threats or attacks. Hallelujah. They do not bow or cower to Satan's attacks. They may be bound and thrown in prison of unalterable circumstances, but they only continue to be thankful and praise God. I think about the Apostle Paul, where his road of obedience led him to a Philippian jail. Great meetings, great outpouring of the Spirit, God bringing that church along, and he's called in, and he's whipped, and he's chained, and he can't get out of it. He thought he was going to die. I'm sure in those men's minds that they didn't know what tomorrow was going to hold. But he was a pillar. You see, a pillar can be whipped, it can be stripped. The enemy can war against it. He can fight it. But the more the enemy wars against that pillar, the more praise and the more thanksgiving works out of that heart. It is a strength. That life becomes an aroma of the grace of God and the strength of God. They're tenacious in that. And they possess that inner strength that God can entrust the Philippian jail. God can entrust those types of situations to them because God has brought them, God has established such that He knows it's not going to destroy him. He knows it's not going to put him under. That they're going to come out, and through it, God's going to turn salvation, He's going to bring good out of it. He's going to save other people. It's going to be a testimony of good. Now, this is what a pillar is, but how does God infuse His strength into us and make us pillars? How does He do that? There's one thing to know what we're not, or what one is, or one is, or isn't. But let's talk about how the Lord does that in our lives. Because this is really where we are. This is really where we live. Because God is doing this in your life, whether you believe it, whether you realize it or not. God is turning you into a pillar. God is turning you into a testimony of His strength and His grace. And such a love. Folks, I am seeing what true spirituality really is. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that it's love. Unshakable love for God and for your fellow man. That is the true Pentecostal expression. That is the true manifestation of the power of God. Is that no matter what comes into your life, you still love God. Doesn't matter if your revelation dries up. It doesn't matter if you can't pray in the Spirit. It doesn't matter if you can't get out of your room to go and visit the poor. Like Paul, you're bound by circumstances to move and to do. But yet there's this continual loving of God and loving of everyone that God brings into your life. That's the testimony that God's doing in your life. That's the testimony of Christ. Now, how does He do this? Firstly, God will take us on a journey and a pathway where all our human strength will be tried and exasperated until the strength and nature of Christ is fused into our lives. God's going to take you on a journey. If you're willing to go there, God is going to take you on a journey. And folks, I don't know any born-again Christian that loves the Lord that does not want this testimony in their life, that doesn't want to love Jesus with all their heart and love others as themselves and walk in the strength of God. That's the true heart of God's Son. Jesus said, My heart is to do the will of the Father at all times. God's going to take you on a journey where all of your human strength is going to be tried. You're going to be exasperated. And God is going to begin to infuse into your life His divine nature. His nature. My weakness for His strength. God is going to do this. And this is a process of God bringing us into the strength of Christ. Folks, it's not the laying of the hands on the altar. It's not in the multitude of hours to be prayed. And that's part of it. Prayer is part of it. I'm not saying that it's not. Communion with the Lord. But it is the work of God. It's the glory of God to do this work in our lives. He's the potter and we're the clay. And God is working this testimony in us. Everything that we trust in will be tried by fire. Our ingenuity, our cleverness, our gifts, talents, and special abilities will not be able to deliver us. I don't care how good you speak, how good you pray, anything that you put your trust in that is keeping you from walking in the strength of God, God will try it. And you will see a diminishing of it. You will see a breaking down of that until all human strength fails. Until we're finally cast solely on the Word of God. That we must believe. The only thing left to do is believe the promises of God. Nothing more. Nothing more that you can do but believe the promises of God to your yes and amen. And this is a journey that all of us are on. Secondly, not only that, and when we reach that point to where all of our human strength and everything is tried, not only is your human strength going to be thrown in the fire, but your faith in the Word of God is going to be thrown in the fire. Not only are you going to be left just to believe in the Word of God, but that faith is going to be tested as well. Our faith in the Word of God will be tried because it will seem we have reached a place so low that even the promises of God cannot bring us out of. People say, you know, they call it different things. Pastor David, this last message, called it an eclipse of faith. Some people call it a Red Sea. Others call it a pit. Others call it, you name it what you want to name it. But every believer is going to go through a time where you're going to reach a place where it's even questionable if even God can deliver you from that place. I think about Joseph. Turn with me to Psalm 105:19. We're going to look at Joseph. I want to get to his life because we're going to end up here. Now here's a young man, young man called of God. One of the greatest examples of Christ, I think, in the entire Bible, both New and Old Testament. Not just, they don't want to relegate him to the past because his testimony, though he's dead, he still speaks. Powerful testimony. Now, look at his life. Now, he had received a word. We're going to look at verse 19, but before we look there, I want you to look up here. He had received a word from God, and it came in the form of a vision. He didn't have the Bible, per se, like we do, but God had given him a vision. In other words, he opened his spiritual understanding to see what God wanted him to be and what God was going to make of him. And, you know, when we're young and when we're like Joseph, receiving the promises of God, we don't fully understand what it means or how we're going to get to that point to where other sheaths are bowing to our sheaths, or in that place where God has ultimately called us to be, in the made into a fuller image of Christ, into maturity. We don't fully understand that. And so we make a mistake when we take that revelation, you know, like Joseph, and we go out to our brothers and we say, this is who I am. You know, and I don't know if he went out there in zeal and pride, but I think in my heart, I think he went out there and he expected them to bow. God, just show me what you're going to do. God, just show me who I am. And I believe he expected when he said that, that it would end their hatred, because he knew at that point that they were his enemies. So he's not going out there saying, hey, brother, you know, I know you love me. This is what God's... He's going out there and saying, you know, God's saying that he's going to cause my enemies to bow to my feet, and I'm going to be put in a position of authority. And through that, and through standing in that revelation, his whole world was changed. Because God, that was just the beginning. And the revelation of what God wants to do to us in Christ is just the beginning. That's just the showing of the word to produce the faith, to produce what God is ultimately going to do in our life. But that word is going to be tried until it becomes worked into you. It's not just a matter of claiming promises and standing on the word and standing up and say, this is what God says I am. This is what God says I'm going to be. No, God has his way. He has his potter's will. He has his way to bring us to that place where we are that pillar. And this man was cast into unimaginable circumstances. People that he thought would never go as far as they did in his life went further than ever he thought that they were even capable. They were going to kill him. They're going to murder him because of this call and the jealousy on his life. And God used that to develop him. And Psalm 105:19 says this. It says, now speaking of Joseph, he called, verse 16, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff. So this was God doing this. The whole time it was the Lord. Joseph had nothing to do with how could he control the famine? How could he control the weather? But it was God developing and God working his will. He sent a man before them. God sent a man before them. God sent Joseph. God allowed those brothers to do what they did, to send him before him. Even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came. Look at what this says. The word of the Lord tried him. Your faith in the word of God is going to be tested. It's going to try you. It will seem that God's promises to you are dead. And I'm imagining, just can imagine what this young man went through. How many times did he question that vision? That was not God. Maybe I had some posture or something with some, you know, it was a dream or something. It wasn't God. It was a bad nightmare. It turned out to be a nightmare. It wasn't what I heard wrong. God didn't make me that promise. And this is the greatest trial of all. When the word of the Lord tries you, when God speaks something that you know it's Him, and then God allows you to be put in circumstances that contradict what His word has told you. It's the greatest testing, I believe, that any believer, when you're brought to strength and into weakness, at least you've got the word. But when the word is tried, and when the word tries you, It wasn't just the slavery. It wasn't just the rejection. It wasn't just the shame and reproach of being falsely accused. It wasn't just the prison house. It was that God had spoken better things than this. Great and many precious promises, and now his condition contradicted the word of God for his life. How many times did he have to fight off bitterness and revenge? How many times did he suffer under the barrage of fiery darts that made him swoon under the awful temptation to be angry and bitter at God? Genesis 49:23, the archers have sorely grieved him. That word sorely, those words sorely grieved in the Hebrews, it means embittered. Embittered. As this word was getting tried in him, Jacob says, prophesies over him and says, the archers have sought to embitter your soul against God. They've sought to put you into a place where you can't receive the promises of God, and they're null and void because you've given in to such unbelief and bitterness. And the devil will seek to embitter every heart, knowing that God will not bless unbelief and bitterness. Those that choose to be pillars will face times like this, where the enemy will seek to embitter you against God. Because the word is long in coming. Now, what was God doing in all of this? Psalm 105:18 says this, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. Now, that one translation of the latter part of that verse, he was laid in iron, reads this way. He was placed in chains until iron entered into his soul. Joseph didn't understand what was going on. The word of God tried him. But God knew all along there was a famine coming to that world. And he needed a pillar. He needed someone that could dispense grace, be compassionate, even on his enemies. Someone that could stand in the time when everyone else was running in fear, would have a knowledge of the times around him and be able to bring out of the treasure houses that God had given him the resources necessary to feed nations. To feed nations. God knew what he was doing. He knew he needed iron in his soul. A revelation is never enough. God must develop the character and the integrity to go with that revelation of who and what God wants you to be. So that when that trial comes, when the famine comes, there is strength there to meet the need. The very strength of God is there to meet and rise up to the occasion. If God would have given that 17-year-old boy all of that, he wouldn't have known what to do. He didn't even understand his own dreams. But by the time that he came out of that prison, he understood the mind of God. He understood the ways of God. He told those two men, this is the will of God. And this dream that Pharaoh has, this is the plan of God. And he had direction. He had understanding. He had unction. Joseph's chains produced a change in his character. His unchanging circumstances produced an unyielding strength in him. Sometimes we can feel bound to the same trying things in our lives and wonder, why am I still here? Why am I still going through these things? Is it my faith? Is it my fault? No. No. Now, sometimes it may be, but what I'm talking about, the making of a pillar, oftentimes it is a work of God to do something of great value in our lives. The working of that character and that nature of Christ. Now, in closing, I want to talk about this. You hear the heart of God. You see. God wants to lay iron in your soul. Strength. And folks, you know what I'm talking about. You know whether or not you have strength. You know more than anybody around. You may have a show of strength. You may be like a Joseph and have a revelation. All of us should have that. Dreams and visions. Things that God has put in our heart of who we're to be. But it's God that discloses the thing, and it's God that works it out. And you know whether or not you have faith. You know whether or not you're in a place of weakness and fear. Now, as God is doing this work, and this is my closing, this is going to be my altar call, what's our role? Turn to Revelation 3:8. We're going to go back to that, and I'm going to close in 2 minutes. Revelation 3:8 and 12 talked about the work of Philadelphia. Jesus says to them, they're persecuted, they're in great turmoil, they're near the synagogue of Satan. In other words, they're right at the devil's pulpit. He's preaching his lies right into their ears. And some of us, how many of you feel like you're sitting under the devil's preaching because of his lie? God's not going to do anything for you. God can't do this for you. Testing and trying, all in an attempt to embitter you against the Word of God and against the Lord. And that's the temptation. But the comfort is this. Jesus speaks to these people that are just like Joseph. He says, I know that you're weak in your own strength, but I've put before you an open door. And he says, on down, he says, if you overcome, I'm going to make you a pillar. Now, I believe these two are intricately woven and linked together. There's a door. And I believe if you take advantage of that door, you're going to turn into a pillar. You're going to turn into a person of strength and faith and of resources and compassion. The door of Philadelphia. It's interesting. You read Revelation chapter 3. There's two doors. Laodicea had a door and it was shut. It was the door of their heart. And God says to Philadelphia, I've opened a door for you. He's not asking them to. Their door's open. Their hearts are open to God. And God says, your hearts are open to me. I don't have to knock on your door. You hear my voice. You know my way. You're weak. You're struggling. You're going through the fire. The word of God's being tested in your life. I want to tell you something, Philadelphia. I've opened a door for you. And if you want to be a pillar, I invite you into this door. I invite you into this door. Now, what is this door at Philadelphia? I believe is an invitation to the unchanging acceptance and love of God for you and me. That in our trial, and all the resources that go with that in Christ, you come into that. You're questioning and you're wondering if I'm going to perform this word in your life. Forget all that just a minute. I want you to know I've opened a door for you into my heart. And you can come into my heart and I'll sup with you. I'll give you the strength and the grace that you need. I may not take you out of this circumstance, but in this circumstance, if you come through this door, Joseph went through that door. I think about when he had that opportunity in the bitterness, fighting that bitterness and all those voices. There's that voice of that woman seducing him into his arm. And what did he do? He ran out the door. He ran into the door of God. He said, I'm not going that way. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get angry at God. I'm not going to get angry at people. I just understand I'm on a journey. I understand that God is developing me. And it's up to Him to choose the tools and the things that He carves into this vessel so that I can be strong for the day of battle. God, I'm yielding my life up to You. God, I'm not going to be like Israel and say, what are you making? What are you doing? Why have you made me this way? I'm going to say, Lord, here I am. I'm clay in your hand, God. And whatever you allow in my life, I want to be able to thank you and to praise you and to give you glory. And God says, that's the door. That's the exit. How do you get out of that? You don't necessarily get out of it, but you run through the door of God's heart. And you turn away from that other door. I think about as a warning to us, because there is another pillar testimony. And I only bring it up as a compare and contrast. I pray that no one here ever become. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. That she turned and she went through another door. She looked back in her trial. And in her testing, she turned back in her heart. And I believe there was something of resistance to the will of God in her life. A and she became hardened. And the Word of God couldn't even penetrate that woman's heart. The Word of God couldn't even save her at that point, because she became so embittered and hardened in her position of turning away from the door of exit that God had given to her. Folks, if you're there this morning, the Word of God is being tried in your life. Do not turn to go out of another door. Don't yield to the temptation of Potiphar's wife and soothes. It's a false soothing. It's a false comfort that tells you to be bitter and angry at God. And when you start to entertain that, and when you start to, the Word of God can't even penetrate your heart anymore. And so you're locked up in unbelief. But you see, there's that other door. God says, I want you to come in through it. I know you may be struggling. All the lies of hell may be pouring in on your mind, but you got to know I love you. You got to know that I'm here for you. Run to that other door. Run to that other place in God. That's how we become those pillars. That's our part. That in all of this trying, we don't let bitterness in. That we become a pillar of salt. Hardened. That's not decayable. They said it was hardened like stone. And it became a monument to what going through the wrong door is all about. Stand with me this morning. Pray for you at the altar. You just continue to pray. Father, I just come before you, and Lord, you've given us understanding, God, of your ways, the ways of the enemy this morning. Lord, we run to the door of your open arms. God, I think about the prodigal. The Father's door was always open. Always. Though he had shut that door in his own heart, that Father's door was open every day. He was out there every day looking for that boy to come home. That's how you are with us many, many times. Though we wrestle in fear, and you never move in your position. You never move, God, or question yourself and wonder, should I be loving this one or that one? You're always the same, Lord. And God, this morning I'm praying, God, for the Josephs. God, those that are in, it may not be circumstances, it may be feelings, it may be they feel depressed, they may feel oppressed. The enemy's just, he's built a prison around them. God, I'm praying that you just show them the door right now. Show them your arms. Let them run, God, to your arms. Find that acceptance that can only be found in you, and the comfort and the grace. Make them pillars in your house, Lord. God, take them from places of instability and make them pillars in your house so that they will have a testimony like Joseph. And they'll have an authority when the devil comes in the future with those lies. They'll be able to speak into other people's lives and bind the enemy and lead people to truth. And expose the lies of the devil, just as we're doing this morning. We're able to stand up. God, you said of Joseph that he was given the power to bind the princes at his will. And that's the authority. That's the crown, God, that comes. That's the authority. That's Jesus standing up within us and refuting the lies of the enemy. And Father, I stand in the authority of Jesus Christ right now, and I bind the lies of hell that are coming against your people at this altar. God, they're going to make it. They're going to be brought through. There's going to be a testimony in their life. They're going to stand and declare the goodness of God. They may be fearlings now, but God, they're going to be people of faith. As long as they continue to run through the door, as long as they continue just to believe in your goodness in the land of the living, that you're going to show them, God, you're going to deliver them. You're going to bring them out every time. They may be tried, but you're going to deliver them every time. You're going to come in and you're going to establish your truth in their hearts over until they become unshakable, unmovable. And God, they'll be able to stand in these last days and declare the goodness of God to all of those that are running, wondering, has God forsaken this world? Is he forsaken? God, we're going to be able to stand in the storm and say, Jesus is in our boat. He's here with us. And he's here for you. Now touch these hearts this morning. Release them from the grip of fear. Take out every arrow of hell. God, I commend them to you now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Let's lift our hands up to the Lord.